This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network. It's brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. A Tuesday program, a Tuesday podcast. Knicks Sixers game 5 at the Garden this evening. The Garden will be rocking. And hey, this is a very big game 5 for the Knicks. A put away game for the Knicks because they don't want to fool with the Sixers here. The Sixers are dangerous. Knicks are lucky they're not 2-2. The three games that went up for grabs, the Knicks have won all three. The one game that was decisive, Sixers won. These games could go either way, and you don't want to be fooling in a seventh game when a player on the other team can show up and dominate the game the way Embiid did in game 3. He probably had, in terms of execution, probably had the best 50-point game in the history of the NBA playoffs. Took just 19 shots to score 50 points, which has never been done before. He had 5 threes. He had 19 of 21 from the foul line. And it was an insane performance. Now, in game 4, Nurse tried something. It didn't work. It backfired. He was exhausted in the fourth quarter. He was out on his feet. He was on the court, but he couldn't do anything. He hadn't rested. He played 43 minutes. He can't play 43 minutes. They were hoping he could play 30 minutes in these playoffs. He played 43 minutes in game 4. It was a mistake. Here's what has to happen tonight. First of all, the other thing for the Knicks is they're not healthy. We don't know about Robinson. Bogdanovich is out with the ankle injury. So no Bogdanovich, which shortens their rotation. And we don't know if Robinson's going to play. And if he plays, is he effective at all? But let's say this. Achiuwa gave them 19 good minutes. He did a heck of a job. And give Tibbs credit for developing these players who come here with marginal backgrounds into solid players. Hartenstein, Achiuwa, McBride, go down the list. Now, if you're the Knicks here tonight, here's what you need to do. Hard doubles on Embiid, okay? Just go after him. Make him give the ball up. Number 2, don't allow Maxi easy access. You see, the Sixers have decided, and rightfully so from their perspective, that there's no bad shot that Embiid or Maxi can take because any shot they take is better than anybody else taking a shot. Unless it's just a completely off-balance prayer, it's a better attempt than they're going to get from anybody else. So Maxi has a green light at all times. Embiid has a green light at all times. Don't allow Maxi to get the ball easy access. Because if he does that, he's going right to the basket with it, or he's just going to hoist it. Make him come out top deep to get the ball. Make him struggle to get the ball, and that at least makes him think about giving up the ball. If you are the Knicks, you want to make them go to a third option because they don't have a third option. They have two scorers. And if Sixers are going to win tonight, they're going to need 70 points out of those two guys. Otherwise, they're not going to win. It won't be enough because they can't get it anywhere else. If you're the Knicks, hard doubles on Embiid. Don't allow Maxi easy access to the ball. 3, run when possible. Run when you get a chance. Take those opportunity breaks. Energy baskets from Hart. Hart gets baskets when he beats everybody down the floor for layups. He's one of the better guys in the league at that. LeBron does it, Hart does it, Maxi does it, a couple other guards in the league do it, that's it. Run when possible. Run with Dante. Run with heart. Run when you can get a break, take it. Also, push the pace because that just means more mileage on Embiid. If you're the Sixers, as I said, they already know any shot from Maxey or Embiid is a good shot. They have to live with it. Number one, they have to get the ball out of Brunson's hands. They can't let Brunson get – they can let Brunson get high-volume shots. They can let him get 28 points. They can't let him get 45 points. They need offensive help from somewhere. Nurse has got to say, I got to commit to somebody. Tobias Harris has been a disaster. Hill doesn't even come off the bench anymore. He's reluctant to give certain guys major minutes. Maybe he gives Payne more minutes here. They need somebody to step up and give them. Oubre's going to play defense, and whatever he gives you on offense, you're going to live with because he's a good defensive player. And he has got to rest Embiid in the second and fourth quarters. I don't care what he has to do to slow the pace when Embiid's off the floor. Timeouts, fake injury timeouts. I don't care what he does. Okay? Spill water on the court. Whatever it is, they have got to get Embiid meaningful minutes on the bench in the second and fourth quarters. They cannot leave him out there the entire game. It doesn't work. He tried it in the second half the other day, and Embiid was out on his feet in the fourth quarter, and he scored 1 point. He has got to get his rest. They have got to keep his minutes under 40. They have got to get him a rest in the second quarter and the fourth quarter without the game caving in when he's off the floor. They've had no problem in the first quarter of these games because Embiid's been on the floor the whole time. They've usually won the first quarter of the games almost all the time. So the Knicks, with the injuries they have, get a couple of days rest. They're going to get a big advantage here. Milwaukee's going to say goodbye because they're going to play again without the Freak and without Lillard. And who knows, Portis probably won't punch anybody. But the Sixers are going to be the next matchup. That's a very winnable series for them. It's a good matchup for them. They don't play any defense. It's a very good matchup for the Knicks. Milwaukee would have been an impossible matchup if they were healthy. They're not healthy, though. And they're going nowhere. And then those guys are not playing tonight from everything we understand. So it would be very positive to get the days off, to get Robinson rest, to get Bogdanovich rest. But also, you don't want to fool around with this series because this is a dangerous series. This is a very well-matched series. And when you have a guy like Embiid who can beat you by himself, you don't want to make it a one-game situation where he goes crazy and wins the game. You want to get it over with and get it over with tonight. Now, big game five. Should be an exciting game five. Check out my playoff special at Bet Rivers for tonight's Knicks Sixers game five. You know, one of those same game parlays they asked me to put one together. I did. The Francesa playoff special available on the Bet Rivers app, so go check it out. You know, just some stuff for tonight's game. Same game parlay. They put the price on it. I put the three things up. They put the price on it. So, I don't know if you stayed up and watched the Nuggets, who beat the Lakers as expected. But it was a classic game. I mean, the Lakers played well. LeBron played well. I mean, LeBron has 30. Yeah, it's 30, 11, and 9. He averaged 27-8 for the series. I mean, he doesn't look his age. That's for darn sure. For the season, he averaged 25 and still plenty of rebounds, plenty of assists. In the series, he was 27-8, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. I mean, you know, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. I mean, he played like anything but a 40-year-old. Now, what does LeBron want to do? He's not retiring. Lakers want him back. LeBron has a player option at 51-4. Is he going to go somewhere else? Is he going to try to find a team where he can win a championship? Maybe. Does he stay with the Lakers? Lakers are offering him a 3-year extension. and they're willing to draft Bronny. So, I mean, they want him back. Do they get him back? I don't know. Does he go somewhere else? Maybe. Can he be a useful player? Yeah, he can't be your main. Listen, I mean, he could be your main guy if every, like, if you put him on a team like the Knicks, you could make him, and he's not coming to the Knicks. I'm not trying to say he is. But if you put him there and you called him the main guy along with Brunson, that would be fine. And they would do well together, but that's not going to happen. He could be the great number two somewhere with a young one. Or he could go to a stacked team. Like he turns around and goes to, you know, Oklahoma City next year and they work out some kind of deal and he goes there. Hey, they're going to be held to pay. Or goes to San Antonio. I mean, but I don't know what his plans are. I have no idea. He's still got basketball in his life, though. He's still got basketball in his legs. There's no question. He's got years left. He's got at least one good year left. He was really good this year. When he averaged 27-8 in the playoffs, he averaged 25 for the season. He can still play. He's still playing at a high level. So we'll see what happens. And who knows? He'll probably try to get himself a fifth title somewhere. And also play with his son before it's over. I mean, that's obviously the plan. Obviously, the plan. Now, Milwaukee, what are they going to do? I mean, you know, go quietly into the night. You know, get it over with. You know, you're down 3-1. You don't have Embiid. You don't have the Freak. You don't have Lillard. Just let it go mercifully away and let the Pacers move on. Magic and Cavs have played 4 one-sided games, 4 blowouts. Home team, home team, home team, home team. Game 5 now. I expect the Cavs to come back. I don't like the Cavs. The Mavs have done more than I even thought they would. I thought the Cavs would win this probably in 5 games. Now it's going more, at least 6. Might go 7. That would be a nice testimonial for the young Magic. I expect Cleveland to win tonight. Milwaukee could win tonight, but all they're doing is prolonging the inevitable because it's obvious now that the Freak's not coming back for the series. So even if they lost tonight in Milwaukee, which could happen, if they did, they're going to win Game 6 and move on. But the Knicks would like to get this. They play at 7 tonight. They would like to get this over with and move on. I mean, right now, it looks heavy Denver-Boston, but I'll tell you something. The Knicks are going to have a shot in that series. The Knicks have an outside shot of getting to the finals. Would they beat Denver? I don't think so. No. I think Denver's going to win the whole thing again. And I'll tell you, everyone talks about the Joker, and they should. We all know what he is. But I mean, Murray is, I mean, let's be honest, he is Sam Jones. And that's quite a high compliment. And if you don't go back with Sam Jones, we'll go check. I wouldn't call him Jerry West because, you know, you don't call anybody the reincarnation of Zeke from Cabin Creek. I mean, that's just, Jerry West is Jerry West. You know, if you watch Jerry West play for his career, you don't ever compare anybody to him at the guard position because he was Jerry West. I mean, that's all there was to it. But he is an incredible clutch shooter and did it again last night. Hit the shot. LeBron gets fouled, made both free throws. And then what does Murray do? Come right back and make the shot again. You know, big shot Murray. That's what he is. He wasn't even supposed to play last night. He played, had a big game, hit a bunch of threes. Scored 30 points and hit the game winner. Hit 2 game winners down the stretch. Hit one, had to hit another one, hit another one with 4 seconds left. And the Lakers went in 5. Hey, they played some tough games. They actually held their head up high in the series. I didn't think it would go past 5. And they played about as competitively for 5 games as you can play. They still lost in 5. And Denver's, you know, going back to the finals. I don't think there's any question. I'd be shocked if they didn't. I don't think there's anything in the West ready to beat them. You know, it's just not going to happen. There's nothing there ready to beat them yet. That's all there is to it. Oklahoma City made fast work of the Zion-less squad. So that was the end of that. The only game that was really close was game one. Well, no, game last night was fairly close. Last night was close. But game one, they probably should have won. They didn't, but they probably should have. But they get beaten four straight, and we get ready to move on. But right now, if someone puts a gun to your head, you're going to pick Denver-Boston final. That's all there is to it. But I think the Knicks have a chance. I think the Knicks can beat them. Now, I don't know how what's up with Porzingis yet. Calf injury, you can see how debilitating a calf injury can be. Look at the Freak. I don't know if this is a bad one. If it is, you're not going to see him for a while. And that's a loss for the Celtics, no question. So we'll see where that takes them as far as that goes. Yanks and the Orioles playing at the top of the division. Orioles pitching, you know, despite the injuries, can be very good. And, you know, the Yankees, it's kind of wild. You know, go 15-15 and then get shut out. Score 30 runs in two games in Milwaukee and then get shut out. And, you know, get enough hits last night. Get seven hits, don't score. Good start for the Orioles. Yankees and Orioles are going to see plenty of each other. You know, it's been a long time since the Yankees and the Orioles have been, you know, rivals because the Orioles have been down for so long. Back last year when the Yankees weren't there, so we still haven't had it, but now you're going to start to have something we haven't had in a long time, which was, you know, meaningful Oriole games, which are going to be there this year. You know, I was thinking about it. How many times, you know, you look at the home runs for Judge and for Soto, you know, and, you know, Soto's got seven home runs. Judge has got six home runs. You figure both of them are going to hit 40 home runs this year. Right now, Henderson and Trout have 10 apiece. So I said, how many times are we going to see them homer in the same game? And I went back and looked it up. I didn't know this top of my head. I would have guessed somewhere around this, but I didn't know I went back and looked up the accurate numbers to see what they could shoot for. I said, you know, what would be a lot? So I said, what did Manlon Maris? Now, Manlon Maris hit 115 home runs between them that year. 61 for Maris, 54 for Mail. These guys are not going to hit that many home runs. They'll probably hit 85, not 115. But back-to-back and in the same game. Manlon Maris hit home runs in the same game. How many times do you think? Five? Six? Seven? 14 times that year they hit home runs in the same game. 14 different games. They each homered in the game. That's a lot. And how many times do you think they went back to back and a belly to belly? 10 times. Back to back 10 times. Now remember, early in the season, Mantle batted three, Maris batted four, then they switched them because Maris didn't get off to a fast start, and they switched them. Mantle batted four, Maris batted three the rest of the way, and they hit 10 back-to-back home runs. 14 times they homered in the same game. I would think it would be hard for these guys to come close to those numbers. That would be extreme. You know, that would really be extreme. But let's see how many times they wind up doing it this year. Gives them something. Gives the duo something to shoot at, as a matter of fact. 14 times in the same game, 10 times back-to-back. Mets opened a four-gamer with the Cubs. And, you know, when they get beat by Diaz on games with Diaz, it always leaves a little bit of a sting, you know? I mean, they got a terrific game. Terrific game from Severino last night. You know, and overall, Severino, you got to be, you know, if you're the Mets, you got to be very, very happy with what you've gotten out of Severino so far. He's pitched very well. You know, on the season, last night he pitched really well. Last night he went 8 innings. He obviously carried the no-hitter deep. He wound up giving up just one hit. On the season, he's got 2.31 ERA. I mean, he's pitched very well. 35 innings, 31 strikeouts, 106 whip, 231 ERA. So far, so good for Severino. And, you know, Diaz grooved a 3-1 pitch to Morel, and he hit it a long way for a 2-run home run. So the Cubs come from 1-0 down in the 8th, eke out a run, and then get a 2-run homer in the 9th. And the Mets fall in the opener to the Cubbies. And the Cubs are playing good baseball at 18-11. Playing very good baseball right now. So not the way they wanted to open the series, but the Mets are still, they're staying on the, you know, 14-14. If they can just hang around the 500 mark until, you know, until they either decide to get Senga back and, you know, if they could get Senga back and add another pitcher, the way their bullpen has performed, they might be able to hang in there and make a run at one of these playoff spots, at least keep themselves competitive through the summer. I'm sure they're going to wait until late July to make any decisions on stuff like that. Senga, I know, is starting to throw, so hopefully he's headed in the right direction. We'll see how long it takes him to come back. You know, hey, when they opened 0-5, looking at the trips that were coming to Atlanta and to LA and to San Francisco, you would have signed for less than 14-14. You would have signed for, you know, 13-15. You would have signed for a couple of games under 500 for sure when they opened up 0-5. So 14-14 over the stretch is not bad. You know, there's a couple of things they have to do better, obviously. One is they have got to hit early in the game more than they have. They have not hit early in the game. It'd be nice to play from in front. They have not done that a lot this year. Their games, they have scored a lot of runs late. They have not scored early in these games. That's been a problem for them. So that's got to get more consistent. But there's a bunch of things they have to get more consistent. But they've gotten a lot of performances so far. Clutch performances, and their pitching has been good. It's been very good so far. And now you're a month into the season, and the warm weather's, well, it was here yesterday. It's not so warm today, but, you know, right around the corner. You're in May, so it should be right around the corner. The Derby later this week, I would call it a less than solid Derby field. I'd say it's a less than spectacular Derby field. But a couple of horses that could clearly, if they go to their best performances, will have plenty to shine on Derby Day if the race goes their way. I'll have more on that later in the week. We will try to get Brad's picks up. We will do that. I talked to Brad the other day, so we'll do something with him later in the week. We'll either put him up to analyze the whole thing, or I'll have his information of what he expects for you, one or the other. But I think we'll probably try to put him up and let him go through the Derby field. The first Saturday in May comes your way this Saturday. One of the last annual rites of spring, as spring should have already sprung by now, but here in the Northeast, it has done anything but that, despite yesterday's 83-degree weather. Today, it's back on the chilly side. warmer weather is right around the corner as we finally have made it to the month of May. All right. Emails when we come back.
Want to email the Mike Francesa podcast? Drop Mike a note at MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com.
Send your emails to MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com. MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com. That's where you want to send them. And we will get to as many as we possibly can here today. Let me also remind you to check out the playoff special at BetRivers for tonight's Knicks Sixers Game 5, the Francesa playoff special available on the BetRivers app. As far as hockey, before I get to the emails, you know, the Rangers made fast work. I don't think they played a spectacular series, but they didn't have to. All right, against the Washington team that most people would tell you, and the guys who follow this very closely told me that they really didn't belong, and I think that was pretty obvious. The Islanders are in action tonight, trying to stay alive after winning Game 4 in Carolina for a Game 5 this evening, trying to stay alive. Bunch of 3-1 teams down trying to stay alive tonight. You know, Maple Leafs trying to stay alive against the Bruins. Islanders trying to stay alive against the Hurricanes. Avalanche trying to stay alive Jets trying to stay alive against the Avalanche. And the Predators trying to stay alive against the Canucks all this evening. So all 3-1 series. The Rangers will play the winner of the Islanders and Hurricanes, expected to be the Hurricanes this evening. And as I told you, and we'll preview that series, we'll put put guys up to preview that series. My hot guys told me they felt that Carolina was a terrible matchup for the Rangers, and they thought Carolina was their pick to win the whole thing. They felt Carolina was going to be a complete handful. They thought the Islanders had no chance. They thought the Rangers would win in 4 against Washington. And then they said they thought that the Rangers would probably fall in a long series to Carolina. So, hey, we know the Rangers are really good. We know the season they've had. It should be a wonderful classic series from everything that everybody says. So we'll get into that as soon as we have it official, as soon as the Islanders, unless they shock the world from 3-1 down, it would be from 3-0 down. Something they have done in their history, I know. I remember the old days. But unlikely here against this very strong Carolina team. And Carolina and the Rangers should be a classic next round from every indication. Now, as we said, emails, MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com. Let me get to a couple of your thoughts here today and see what's on your mind. Okay. Randall starts us off. What are your thoughts on the Pats drafting Drake May? Well, first, my thoughts are that this is a very different time for the Pats. You know, when you have a franchise under the hold of one person for such a long time, and they had one way of doing things. They had, obviously, until the last couple of years, unbridled success. You know, historic success. And I have hit a rough spot here. Now, with a new look, new voices, new philosophies, they are going to... It's going to take a while for the rest of the league to view the Pats the way they view other teams. They've never viewed the Pats. For 20 years now, people are conditioned to view the Pats through one prism. Well, now that's gone. And the Pats were always viewed smarter than everybody else. Now, a lot of that luster came off the last couple of years with their problems. But when you look at their body of work over 20 years, they were incredibly successful. Now you have a new, now you have to start to look at them like a regular franchise again and judge them that way and see how the new brain trust and the new coaching staff and how these guys go about their business. So what they are is just a young team trying to rebuild with a young coach and a young quarterback. They should not be judged any differently than you would judge any team in that position. And that that position is always one of a great deal of unknown. We don't know what to expect from the head coach. We don't know what to expect from what their philosophy will be. We don't know what to expect from a young quarterback. So, and how they're going to bring them along, what their philosophy is going to be. So again, you have to judge them with a newness that we have not. And like I said, it's going to take a little while and everyone has to do it. You think Pats, you think one thing. That's gone now. Yes, it's been conditioned in all of us as NFL people for 20 years. It's over now. So it's going to take a little while. What do you think of Anthony Edwards overall as a player? Well, listen, you talk about a guy, the playoffs is where you can have impressive performances like a Brunson or an Anthony Edwards in the regular season. But until you do it in the postseason, you have not stamped yourself. You were starting to hear the doubters after games one and two with Brunson. And then what did he do? He established what he had established in the regular season. He established it in the postseason. He did it with a 47-point performance. Well, Edwards did it with a series-clinching 40-point performance in game four. So these are two young players, just like Brunson has established himself in the East, Edwards has established himself in the West. And he is now a very high-level player on a team that has finally learned how to win and taken him a long time to do that. Roger, how many Hall of Fame seasons does a player need to be a Hall of Famer? Aaron Judge has had some monster years, but I'm not sure his health will allow him to generate the numbers that get you into the Hall. I think it really depends on a couple of things. Postseason, the level of dominance by that player in the regular season. I mean, are you going to be otherworldly? Like, Judge has had some otherworldly years. That takes you to a different level. See, to me, one of the things you ask of a Hall of Famer is that he has a dominant cycle. If you don't have a dominant cycle, then you need the other way to get into the Hall is to do it over a long period of time. There's two ways. You can be dominant for a shorter period and leave such a mark that you're a Hall of Famer, or you can, the word always used is compile, numbers that will allow you to make it based on longevity, where you put up numbers over a long period of time. So there's two ways to enter. Judge is not going to enter that way, okay? He's, first of all, he is, as the person mentioned, he obviously has issues with his health. He continues to have issues with his health. He is now 32 years of age. When you look at it overall, he's got, for his career, he's got 263 home runs. He's had a couple of magnificent seasons, the 52 home run year in 2017, the 62 home run year in 2022, but also some other, you know, solid years. Would he be a Hall of Famer if he left now? No. You wouldn't be able to do it because, you know what? His numbers for his career just don't stack up. You're talking about a guy who's a lifetime 280 hitter, who's got 260 home runs going into this year and 570-something RBIs, 590 RBIs. That's not going to get it done. But once he puts 400 home runs into the bank and puts 1,000 RBIs in the bank, he will have done enough in his career because of those big years probably to get to the Hall of Fame. So I would look at it as there are requisite numbers that he would have to get, but he's had 1, 2, 3, probably 4 years that you would say have been, two of them have been dramatic and the other two have been solid, very solid. But is he there yet? No. I would not say he's there yet. And he's got some work to do. And his age is also an issue. So your original point is a good one. Is he automatically a Hall of Famer at this moment? No, he's not. Frankie, the Giants are now trying to justify their contract to Daniel Jones. I can't see how they win with him, even with the weapons he has now. Listen, the Giants protected themselves with the Daniel Jones contract. They were trying to make a commitment to him off his good season. They thought they could win with him. They thought they could go to the playoffs with him. They did that. They won a playoff game against a bad opponent, but they won a playoff game. And they protected themselves by giving themselves outs of that contract that were not going to be penal. So they can still walk away. So even though he will most likely be the starting quarterback this year, based on the start of the year, we'll see how his health takes us. If he's healthy, I think he will be the quarterback this year. It doesn't mean he's the quarterback long term. It does not. He has not made that commitment, and this is a very big year for him, as it is now a very big year for the head coach. Very big. Last year completely destroyed what both of them had put in the bank the year before. What at the time looked like something very significant that was put in the bank by both of them the year before was wiped out by a disastrous year last year. So it brought them back to the same level they were sitting at two seasons ago. So this is a very big year for both. Pete, if Rodgers stays healthy, what are the realistic expectations for the Jets? The goal is to win the Super Bowl. The window feels like this year or bust. I think he's probably got 2 years left where he could play at a high level. I think he could definitely play at a very high level this year, and I think the moves they've made with the offensive line should ensure that. They did what I felt. I was very critical of them after this season ended and talked about what I felt they were compelled to do, and they did all of it with the offense. The only thing they didn't do was I would have gotten one other guard that they didn't get, but drafting the player they drafted at 10 and getting Smith, to me, were two moves that had to happen. They both did. They brought in some guys who can start on the offensive line. They brought in a guard who can start and a tackle who can start. I liked one guard better, but that's neither here nor there. I think that if everything fell into place, the Jets could go to the Super Bowl this year. Yes. I think they could be that formidable in the playoffs if everything falls into place. That doesn't mean it's going to. And a part of that is coaching, and this coach has got to learn what his job is. And he could drag this thing down with his lack of ability at the position. He has not shown anybody that he understands what it is to be a head coach in this league. And he's got one more shot to learn it. And if he hasn't learned it this year, nothing's going to save him, including Rodgers. But I would consider Rodgers' health, Rodgers being able to play 90% of the games, that would be number one obstacle to getting to a big season, which would mean a significant playoff run. That would be a big season, significant playoff run. With the Super Bowl not out of the question. Now, the first obstacle to that is Rodgers' health and protection. Put him as 1A and 1B. The second is being dragged down by inefficient and just inadequate coaching. That is number two. I don't think there's a personnel problem on the team that cannot be overcome. I think Rodgers' health and protection, meaning when he does get a hit, he can withstand it, meaning that the offensive line doesn't break down, it works the way we expect it to work. That's 1A and 1B. Then two is the inefficiency or inadequacies of the head coach, who has shown nothing but inadequacy in his career as a head coach. He doesn't yet show me at all that he understands what the job entails. And it's about time he figured it out. And I hope he spent this offseason asking somebody, because he didn't have a clue. He hasn't had a clue. But their high side this year, with their defense and Rodgers and what he can bring and how he can elevate them, the sky is the limit. It's that high. If you're a Jet fan, you can dream that big. But you've got to keep Rodgers healthy, and this coach has got to get a lot better. Enjoy the day.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.